Why might you ask about sunscreen prior to administering local anesthetic eye drops? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today we're taking a look at local anaesthetic eye drops. Anaesthetising the eye is a vital part of urgent care practice. Due to the pain and associated tearing and blepharospasm that follows an eye injury, we are often unable to assess an eye at all until instilling local anaesthetic drops, and they are of course vital when removing corneal foreign bodies. The New Zealand formulary lists four ocular local anaesthetic preparations: tetracaine, also called amethicaine, oxybupricaine, proximetacaine, and a combination drop of fluorescein with lignocaine. The most common drop I've come across is the amethicaine, which is from the ester family of local anaesthetics, alongside oxybupricaine and proximetacaine. Lignocaine sits in the amide group, alongside drugs like bupivacaine and prilocaine. For the purpose of this bite, I'll be looking only at the ester group, and in particular, amethicaine. Prior to instilling these drops, there are a few very important questions to ask your patients, and there are also some very important things they need to know before the drops reach their eye. So first up, all patients need to be forewarned that the drop will sting when instilled. This sting will fade as the anaesthetic effect takes place, but they need to be prepared for this as they can get quite distressed if they were expecting a wonderful feeling of numbness only to get a horrible stinging. Your patient will quickly lose their trust in you if you do not give them this warning, and this is not the best start to a consultation that might progress to you holding a needle up to their cornea. As well as the sting, patients should be warned that they might taste the anaesthetic drop as a bitter taste in their mouth. This can be reduced by compressing the lacrimal sac at the medial canthus during the instillation of the drops, and it is good practice, particularly in children, as it will also reduce the risk of systemic absorption. It is very important to warn the patient who has a painful eye that this drop is only temporary. If they're very distressed by the pain their eye injury is causing them, the wave of relief from experiencing the anaesthetic drop is palpable, but they need to know that this is a temporary relief and they will start to feel pain again later. Warning them now serves two very important purposes. Firstly, once you remove a foreign body from the cornea, you will almost always leave a corneal abrasion. These feel, to all intents and purposes, like a corneal foreign body to the patient. If you do not tell them that the local anaesthetic will wear off and that they will feel a foreign body sensation for 24 hours after, they will usually return, often seeing a colleague, complaining that the foreign body was not fully removed. Future you will thank you for preempting this by warning the patient before you instill any drops, and then again when you discharge them. Secondly, informing the patient that these drops are a temporary relief to aid treatment and exam helps you to broach the issue of, "Can I have those to take home, please, doc?" It is very tempting to comply with this patient request, given how much better patients feel after local anaesthetic drops are instilled. But prolonged use can cause corneal damage and a nasty keratitis, so these drops are a one-time thing. They must never be given to take home and are not to be prescribed for home use. It is always wise to advise a patient whose eye you are numbing that they will be unaware of any injury to their eye occurring whilst it is numb. So if they leave your clinic with a numb eye and go back to a work site, for example, they will not feel any new foreign object flying into their eye. It is therefore good practice to advise eye protection when leaving the clinic if the eye is still numb, and until such time as the drops have worn off. This can be an eye patch, or it might be work safety glasses. This is also a good time to remind the patient that they're not allowed to drive if their vision has been affected, and if they have an eye patch on, the loss of 3D vision makes it unsafe to drive. Now, as with any medicine, it is important to ask about allergies, and the same goes for local eye drops. According to the New Zealand formulary, hypersensitivity reactions are more common with ester local anaesthetics, and cross-reactivity occurs within ester groups, so be mindful of any prior reaction to an ester anaesthetic. Ester local anaesthetics are derivatives of para-aminobenzoic acid, or PABA, and most eye drops use parabens as a preservative, which is metabolized to PABA. Apparently, cosmetics and sunscreen are often made with derivatives of PABA, so in any patient who has had reactions attributed to sunscreens, cosmetics, or paraben preservatives, we're advised to use a non-ester anaesthetic, which in New Zealand is the fluorescein lignocaine mix. So this might necessitate a referral to the ophthalmologist. You might read on the New Zealand MedSafe datasheets or other formularies that tetracaine and other ester anaesthetics should not be used concurrently with sulfonamide antibiotics. Sulfonamides are a structural analogue of para-aminobenzoic acids. Bacterial cell wall synthesis occurs by converting PABA to folate. Sulfonamides act as a competitive inhibitor and therefore achieve bacteriostasis through folate deficiency. So the use of ester local anaesthetics can reduce the effect of sulfonamides. I have not been able to find by how much a single dose of tetracaine affects this, but MedSafe lists concurrent sulfonamide use with ester local anaesthetics as a contraindication, so we should be aware of this in our practice. And finally, preterm babies and neonates have an immature enzyme system, unable to deal with metabolizing ester anaesthetics, so we are not to use them in this age group. So in summary, for amethicaine eye drops, warn your patients about the sting, press the lacrimal sac at the medial canthus to avoid a nasty taste in the mouth and systemic absorption, tell your patients the numbing effect will wear off and that this is a one-time drop, protect the eye until the numbness has worn off, check for previous ester anaesthetic reactions or any hypersensitivity to sunscreens, cosmetics or parabens, and avoid using in patients on sulfonamides or neonates. If you've any comments or points to add to this, please email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. I'd particularly like to know if a single drop of tetracaine affects sulfonamide action enough to avoid using it as a one-off. So if any of you know this, please let me know. Now we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening. The information discussed in this podcast was intended for the ongoing professional development of qualified health professionals and should not be used for self-diagnosis. For any personal medical concerns, please consult your usual doctor.